Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Renee, a show all about creativity. Your host, Yolanda Renee, shares her interviews with authors, poets, movie directors, and publishers, artists of all genres. So sit back, enjoy an opportunity to learn the secrets of writing, publishing, and marketing. And here she is, your host and author, Yolanda Renee.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Conversations with Renee. This is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2011. It's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm your host, Yolanda Renee. We're coming to you live tonight from Pennsylvania and Texas, and tonight's show is all about the mortal vampire, E.W. Bradfute, the author and movie producer of The Mortal Vampire and the host of the immensely popular Paranormal right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you're participating by computer, just type your question into the chat room or pick up the phone and call in to talk to The Mortal Vampire or EW at 347-215-9536. And if you have any questions about this show or any of the other shows, email me at yolandarenee@hotmail.com. EW, like I said, is the author of the book, The Mortal Vampire. He's also the producer of the movie, The Mortal Vampire, and Blog Talk Radio host for the highly popular show called Paranormal. He's here tonight to discuss his journey to success. The Mortal Vampire is a story based on his novel. It's a psychological thrill ride that will have you speculating till the end, which I hear promises to have a surprising twist. Set in the thriving outskirts of San Antonio, Texas, this thriller will have you second-guessing your reasoning and leaving you thirsting for more. I wonder if that's for more blood. Detectives Alexander Stevens and Jennifer Hill investigate a new string of murders being done in the fashion of a vampire draining the blood from the victims through two punctures in the neck in the daylight. Weird things begin to happen, and it all seems to center around the local hospital. Hill finds herself romantically involved with a rookie officer who is the focus of Stevens' suspicion until a second vampire releases his animalistic urges and crosses the line. Stevens and Hill find they are now in the middle of a battle between two vampires, one that is obvious and one that remains out of their grasp. Can Stevens and Hill track down the elusive vampire, or are they in for a brand new terror that they could never have been prepared for? The Mortal Vampire is set to be a three-part series and will continue to be a psychological thriller all the way. Within the second of the series, the actual medical terms and myths of vampires will be revealed, forcing the audience to take a new look at their view of vampires and begin to question if the person sitting next to them in the theater is a vampire or not. Wow, that's exciting. Also, like I said before, EW wears many hats. He's also known for his extremely popular BTR show, Paranormal. And he has an exciting new co-host in Robin. And they have some really exciting news to share with us tonight about all their shows and in all their locations. But we'll let EW tell us all about that. Welcome to the show, EW. It's really good to have you here.
Oh, it's awesome to be back here with you. It's been a while since you and I'm here together.
And tell everyone you're feeling good.
Yes, I am. I am actually stone free. They got the kidney stone out of me, which happened to be drama for some time, believe it or not.
So well, that's good news.
I got it, and we're good to go.
And you are a busy man. So yes, tell me, how is the movie coming? Where do you want to start in this discussion? Because we've got a book, a movie, and your new show, which you're doing tonight for the first time in a while, too, right?
Yeah, actually, as you don't know, I've been on Paranormal for quite some time. I mean, Paranormal. Blog Talk Radio for some time. Paranormal was one of them. Another one was Interview with the Moral Vampire, where I would interview different talented people just as yourself and, you know, get the opportunity to talk to actors, singers, and so forth. And tonight I'm actually interviewing Michelle Slayton, who's a big blues musician. She's an actress, and she's also part of the Women in Blues series, the concert series, and that's awesome. So I will have her tonight with some of her music as well. You know, I got into this and just can't believe how far it's moved up. You know,
when did you first start with BTR? When did you start the program?
I started roughly about October of 2008.
And you've really turned it into something successful, haven't you?
I believe it or not, yes, but it wasn't something I could say I've done by myself. Paranormal has always been a deal where it was a pair, you know, it was a teamwork effort. And with the team and as the team grows, you know, it's not just the two hosts that are on here, which, by the way, Robin does rock, you know, she's an awesome co-host. But, you know, it's also the people who are behind the scenes. We've got a lot of people, you know, that really help us with additional information, like our science minds who help give us their viewpoints to others that can help us open up doors and see, you know, answers to subjects that we're not 100% sure about.
And
so,
it's been,
you know,
well received. I mean, Paranormal is one of the most popular sites on BTR and has been since the beginning, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And to remain usually within the top 20 shows of 721 shows, that's telling you that, you know, it's a very popular show.
Well, congratulations to you. But I want to get back to The Moral Vampire for a minute real quick. When did that book come out?
The book, here's a secret for those who might be trying to find a copy of the book. I originally published through Publish America, and they did a very, very tiny book. So there is a version of The Moral Vampire out that nobody knows about. It's not complete like the black book that you have on your page here. So they all came out in different times. The first one came out in 2007. This black book came out in 2008.
And we can still get a copy of it?
The Black Book? No, it is completely sold out.
Are you going to be reprinting it?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. With Kerlak Publishing, I will be revamping the book, so to say, and bringing it out. And it's going to kind of match up a lot with the script for the movie as well. And so when people read it, they're going to get some understanding. And there's going to be additional stuff that's kind of not in the movie. So, you know, things will make sense, but, you know, either way you see it, you pretty much have the same storyline. So you're not going to be taken away like some films take a lot away from the books.
Well, I just recently, I think it was The Wolfman, they did the film, and then they came out with a book. And it wasn't a screenplay, it was an actual book. So you're doing the same thing with The Moral Vampire this time.
Yes, I am. Actually, I am. I did not actually wrote the script. I took it literally word for word from the book to the script. And then having some great people there as well. We had a script editor from the TV series Heroes. He helped go in there and edit it down. I even had a gentleman who's on the Saw films, if you're familiar with the Saw horror films.
I'm familiar with him, but I've only seen the first one because I refuse to see the other ones. I hate to sit through a movie with my head down.
It's going to be kind of cool because we have a gentleman from that series who's going to be involved in the filmmaking as well. So that's going to be an extra little boost too much, but they're helping. We put together an excellent script. So that's
when is the movie going to be? When is the movie coming out? Do you have an idea?
No, I don't. Here's the dilemma. With the economical crisis, we have struggled trying to find investors. Now, everything is complete. We do have actors signed up to be with the film. We do have, you know, we have investors package. We have everything down detailed. The script is, film has been broken down. It's in budget. You name it. Everything that can be done to it has already been done, including finding people to put together the music. And we even have people who are ready to do the post section. So just put the money in and we get going. It's really at that point.
Sounds like a little bit of a glitch, but nothing that can't be overcome. Money's hard to come by in these days, right?
Exactly. It is. But because of the film itself, though, get involved where I have, we've been able to create a movie company, or a production company, should I say, not necessarily a movie company, but a production company, which is called Midnight Star Productions. And with that, it's been able to help me open doors to be able to do more producing for the radio shows, advertising with that as well. I am working on other projects that even as we speak, and we'll have, believe it or not, we will have for The Mortal Vampire, we will be doing a webisode for it where you'll be able to see them on like YouTube, or maybe we can even get on Hulu, who knows. Once we get it put together, we'll be able to put those up on, on the web for people to see. And there'll be little shorts that aren't the film, but they're about certain characters within the film. So it can help add to the story.
So tell us about the characters, because you said you've already got actors lined up.
I do, actually. One of the gentlemen, now, he doesn't follow the main character, so to say. The main character of the book and the movie, his name is Alexander Stevens. Alexander Stevens was a mentor of mine when I was growing up as a teenager, and he actually got to read some of my first writings. And he, he helped me and inspired me as a teenager to, try to keep my nose clean and do the right things. And I was 18 years old when I found out he passed away from a heart attack. And from there, I vowed to try to do something that would be, kind of help him live on. And I decided to take one of my writings that he really liked and started it off of the book. And it turned out to be, how this began. I got the opportunity to get an actor by the name of Sean Ray Shuford to play his character. Of course, he's not going to be the gentleman that I know, but he will be as much as he can within the character in the film. So that is my main character. Lena Yada, who is a WWE diva. She is Miss Hawaiian Tropics of Japan, and she's an overall wonderful lady. If anyone's ever met Lena Yada or seen her, she is just awesome personality, and the only one that's ever really made me blush on the air. But
I remember interviewing her on, I think it was the top, what was it, TMV or something we did?
Yeah, Premium Views.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and
she was a great awesome. Interview. She did a good job, yeah.
So she'll be playing Jennifer Hill, who is the partner, as you read in the beginning there. She is the one who falls in love with one of the other officers. And this other officer that she falls in love with, believe it or not, is Courtney Gaines. Now, Courtney Gaines is rather popular. Courtney Gaines is the, if you remember Back to the Future, there was this one redheaded guy that pushes McFly out of the way so he could dance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was one of his characters. He is also Malachi on the original Over Another Pond. But recently, he just came out in a movie called Faster with, I forgot his name, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he was in that film as well. he's been quite a few films, very, very popular face. Most people see him pretty much know who he is. And he's the actor that leaned in on the father.
So you've got quite a bit of work done towards getting this movie off the ground. I'm just curious, how do you even get started when it comes to making a movie?
Well, it has to start with a vision. And since the book was already created, and an actress, wonderful actress, who is also producer of the film, she read the book. And she gave me a call and asked me, would you like to make this a movie? And yeah, I wanted to be a movie. And that's Dee Dee Bigelow, and she's also one of the characters in the movie as well. And she actually helped me get some direction to get started, finding people, you know, making the vision start to have some kind of solidity as we moved up the line. When you really want to try to take something from any book or you just have an idea, you have to really take it from there and put it on the paper and, you know, give it some kind of character, so to say. And then you will see it start to, you know, come together. Finding a good producer that can help do that as well. They are contacts that know people who can help you, you know, bring some reality to it. But most of them won't look at it until they see
a script,
yes. And all of a sudden, I've got something popping up on my computer in Adobe. As I'm talking right now, my Adobe Acrobat just opened up and just started loading some kind of document. And I ain't doing nothing.
Oh, I know about computer problems. I have them all the time. I'm just not technically with it anymore.
Right.
But I was wondering, is it easier, you think, for someone on the West Coast to pursue this, or could someone anywhere in the world make the connections that you've made to get it done?
It's pretty difficult depending on your location. Now, right now, Hollywood is not being too good. From what I understand, talking to a couple of the actors yesterday, jobs over there are becoming more and more scarce, believe it or not. If you're not a name, you're not getting a job. But what is happening is the new Hollywood, so to say, I'm over here doing the quotation symbols so anyone who can see beyond the monitor, they are starting to burst up and bring younger faces into the theatrical scenes. Here in Texas, Austin and San Antonio are literally becoming the new Hollywood. As the states change their incentive programs for the films, they're going to be doing what they can to entice people to come and, film their movies there. And that's really what changes it and what makes people decide how they're going to and where they're going to film it. In this case, you'll find out that it's probably easier to do it from the East Coast or central part of the country.
So how did you make your connections? Was it online or in person?
Honestly, it's all been online and talking to it. Well, you've ever heard the saying, it's not what you know, but who you know? It's kind of the same concept here. I have met some great players down the time. Like Sean Rennie introduced me to the gentleman with the Saw TV series. Victor Anderson, who built movie sets, he built the, I believe he's done the movie set for the new crime scene film in L.A. I think it's Law & Order L.A. They have gotten the opportunity to literally more than those sets. He's even done the sets for the Heroes TV series, but he's got to know so many people. So talking with him helped me open up more doors. That's how I met the gentleman to help edit the script. You know, so it literally comes down to the saying that it's not who you know, or what you know, but who you know. And
mm-hmm.
if you know the right people, the doors open up and you kind of get into the right places.
Well, sounds like you're getting to know all the right people. Tell me something. Have you written book two yet?
No, I can't concentrate on it. Honestly, I start to write, and I have the opening scene, and oh, my God, the opening scene, no pun intended on this, is really killer. I mean, it takes place in the Victorian era, and you're going to be introduced to some characters from the first film, but you're going to be like, wow, they're young, you know? And you're going to find out how some of these other characters come into play. And it literally starts off with a scene of vampires. And it just really gets you enticed into wanting to know more. And then you understand the role of some of these characters and why they've taken on the life that they choose to do, which helps. Like you read when you opened up the show, that they are going to be questioning things by the end of the second film, or even the book, as to why this could happen, or what is this. There's literally medical terms that have created the, you know, vampiric error, so to say, and some of them are real. So being able to tie those in will help open the doorway to new views on vampires, as well as saying, hey, by the way, my vampires don't glitter.
So, in other words, you're going back into the olden, the reality of vampires way back when, and bringing that to the forefront?
I'm not going to take it to Dracula. I'm going to take it somewhat to the 1890s is what I'm going to try to take it to. I'm not going any farther than that. And when we get, you know, and we're going to get up through the time from the 1890s to today's time. This way, there's none of this being bored or put to sleep because you have to go through the story of years and years and years, centuries even, you know. So, and I want to kind of take enough that makes sense as you get into it. And then by the time the third one comes out, you're going to have an all-out war.
Oh, really?
I know that sounds bad, but what it is you've got a set of vampires who don't want to be held down by rules, and you got a set of vampires who do follow the rules. And, you know, they're going to recruit. They're going to recruit people, and you're going to see some of them, and you're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed, really, by the time the second one comes in, you're going to be amazed by who some of the people are as far as being vampires now. And you're going to see where they split everyone's life, including this period. You know, like, for example, you walk into a cafe, do you stop and think who your waiter or waitress is? No, you
no.
Place your order, and they bring it to you. But what if that person that moves in the door is somebody who's seeking human blood to live?
Wow. Well, it sounds like you've got the second book written in your head, just not down on paper, huh?
It's when I do get it on paper, it's just going to be something that has to remain under lock and key until we can finalize all of the first. But the
mm-hmm.
great thing is production is going to help the revamp version of the book. And it gives me an opportunity. There is another book out there that people can get their hands on. They go to Amazon. The book's called Haunted House. And Nicholas.
What's it called? Say that again.
From the Shadows.
From the Shadows?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a collection. And Nicholas Grabowski is the author of Halloween 4. He himself has a story in the world. I wrote one called The Slasher, which is the introduction of Alexander Stevens and his partner, Aaron Hill. So that story is now included in the Mortal Vampire, in the revamped version of the book. There's a lot more to it. There is what mutation that book is actually contained. It's finished in the Vampire. It doesn't leave you at a point where you're like, oh, okay. It leaves you at a point wanting more. You are just going to want to know more.
So have you got book three in your head too?
I do somewhat. I don't have 100% because I'm getting newer ideas how to fix this. And again, keep it with my but a lot of people were not Twilight fans. I am not one of them. I'm not a Twilight fan. I am, honestly, if you want to pick a vampire series that I love the most, it was Underworld. But they kind of ruined it for vampires, you know.
I was just asking because I know when I wrote the first book, I did that one alone. And then when I wrote started book two, I also started book three at the same time and wrote both of them together, which is kind of odd. But then again, it kind of keeps things straight because you got to go back and set things up in book two that work in book three. So that's why I was asking.
I took the book first. And I was very fascinated with the beginning. And I had already written the beginning, which is even that I had actually read. And I helped edit
what,
there,
do you,
I felt the middle.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. A lot of people start at the end.
Yes, they do. A lot of people start at the end because what's the first place you go to when you pick up a book?
Pardon?
Well, when you pick up a book and you get ready to read it, where's the first place you turn to?
I go to the first page. I never read the last page until I get there.
Do you know the majority of the people who pick up a book look at the library?
Who?
Most of the people who get a book to read, they start at the end.
Really? I didn't know that. I could never do that. It would ruin it. If I read the last page first, why would I read the rest of it?
Like,
I like to be surprised.
Right? Well, how about reading an ending that leaves you hanging and saying, why is this happening? And that's going to make you want to open up the book.
Well, you know, I have recently read a lot of books that don't have the ending that I want them to have. But then again, as a writer, I have to give, you know, the author of that book credit for writing their story. I can't write it for them, no matter if I, you know, whether or not I like the end. And I have read a few books because I'm one of these people. I have to have a happy ending, even if it's, you know, not necessarily happy all the way through. It has to have some kind of, you know, satisfaction at the end.
So,
yeah. I can see some people doing that because I'm not the only one out there that likes a happy ending. But I do not read the last page until I've read from the first to the end. I never thought of doing that. Be very honest with you. I never, ever thought of opening a book and reading the last page first.
When I got your book, the Murder, Madness, and Love,
mm-hmm.
I actually did that. I went to the end first to see what it was like.
And you didn't read the rest of it, did you?
I did. Actually, I wrote you, remember?
Yeah, you did.
I did. But what got me was a detective series. Well, it was kind of more, to me, it was more of a different type of mystery, detective type series. But I expected when I got to the end, there was going to be more.
Well, yeah, there is more. That's why it's a series. But, you know, I describe it. I did. I wrote that ending, before I wrote the beginning. But I describe the book as a mystery with a touch of romance and a little bit of horror in it. So,
yeah.
You know,
you
it's really difficult to set a genre nowadays, don't you think?
It is. It really is, because if you say one thing, you're only going to get those people. But,
well, then it turns people off because, you know, there's a little bit of romance, but how many horror stories have you read with romance in them? How many mysteries have you read with romance in them? I mean, just about every book out there has a little bit of romance in it. But if you label it romance, you turn people off who aren't interested, you know?
Exactly. You're exactly right. That's why when they ask me, what's the classification of your book? What genre are you writing? I said, well, to be honest, it's not a particular genre because it's mystery, suspense, you know, the horror, classic horror, I forget what it was. There's like thriller. There's like five categories that it comes from.
Fantasy. Your book could go into fantasy, too, which, you know, when you think fantasy, you're thinking, you know, angels and fairies and that sort of thing. So,
exactly. Yeah.
And then, but other people write about fairies and witches and all that, and that's labeled in horror. And so, yeah, picking a genre is very, very difficult. You kind of got to list all of them if you want to get somebody to read it, I think.
Exactly. So, yeah, and it really rocks.
And they say know your audience, but, gosh, you know,
well,
it's just...
It's a question. You know, because one of the other books I'm working on right now is pretty much got... it's all on paper, but it's a research that Robin and I do called Paranormal, and it's a play on words, of course, because it's like a pair of shoes, AM and normal, but what we do, we don't just do radio shows. And so what I decided what I would do was a storyline that has the co-host being called haunting in their home. And the first one I did, the first story I have in there, talks about a childlike spirit. And
did I lose the mortal vampire? You're fading out on me. You're fading out on me, EW.
No.
You're doing that on purpose. I know you are. Let's take a break here, okay? It's half hour into the show, and I'll give you a chance to get a drink of water and rest your voice. You've been doing quite a bit of talking. And this is usually the time of the show where I always ask for donations. So get your checkbooks out, folks, because I'm going to start. Anyway, you're listening to Conversations with Renee on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Yolanda Renee. This show is all about the mortal vampire and its author and movie producer, E.W. Bradfoot. If you would like to be a guest on this show, just send me an email at YolandaRenee@Hotmail.com. And if you want to talk to E.W. in person, just dial 347-215-9536. Or keep typing all your comments in the chat room. Thanks for being here, folks. I do appreciate it. And as I said before I started, this commercial is all about donations. And the first donation I'm going to ask you for is for books. Well, actually, that's the only donation I'm going to ask you for. And booksforsoldiers.com is a place where you can make donations to the soldiers who are serving in the field, Afghanistan and Korea, and who knows, maybe soon in Libya. But the point is that they could use an escape, and a book can do that. So check out booksforsoldiers.com. There's a bit of a process. You have to join the forum, but you get to meet the troops. If you become an official volunteer, you actually get to converse with the troops and get to shipping your books, DVDs, games, and any other relief supplies that you can forge up for them. But it's all about booksforsoldiers.com, and it's just simply to give them an escape. And if you're like me, you've got stacks of them in your house, so get them out there to where they can do some good, share them. And the second donation of books could go to booksforboots.org, booksforboots.org. again, it's for the soldiers, but these soldiers are in the VA hospitals, and they also need an escape. But your books will go directly to the vets in the hospitals, and if you have any cash to spare, they could use that to help get families to the bedside of those soldiers. So check that out, folks. All these are online, and if you go to my profile page, the links are there, but booksforboots.org will get you there too. Then the third option is for authors. If you have a book that you've written and you want to donate just one book, go to shadowforestauthors.com. And it's spelled just as it sounds, shadowforestauthors.com. It's a real nice website. Check it out. It was started for all authors to donate, and they're just asking for one book. You can give them books, or excuse me, boxes of books if you want to, and they will send them anywhere in the world for the charity that you choose. And that charity can be Got Books USA, the Australian Literacy Program, Book Aid International in the United Kingdom, Adult Reading Assistance in New Zealand, the World Public Library here in the United States, Read Between the Bars, and the Women's Prison Book Project, both in the United States, or Mission Australia, and there's many more. Go to the website, check it out. But the nice thing about that, too, is for just one donation, you'll be able to upload a copy of your book or your cover and a blurb about your book and where they can buy it. So there's benefit to literacy, and there's also a benefit to each one of you as an author. So check it out, shadowforestauthors.com. And like I said, just go to my profile page if you missed out any of those links. They're there. It's a nice thing to do, and since I interview authors, I always want to bring that up. So let's get back to the show and the mortal vampire himself, E.W. E.W., how you feel? Uh-oh, did I lose him? Did he walk away? No, he's still on the air. He's still in the chat room, but he's not talking to me. Let me see. He says I muted him. I haven't touched that, but let me see. No, it's open, EW. There we go. It's open. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I didn't touch it. It's got to be the paranormal stuff. I mean, what can I say? Somebody came through the phone line and hit the mic. Huh?
The second I touched everything started happening.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's that paranormal stuff. So tell us a little bit about your show that you're starting tonight. What time does it come on? And you already told us who your guest was going to be, but why are you starting that up again? And what's the news you have to share about it?
Well, the reason I'm starting is a lot of fans who listen to the show love the guy. And I kind of stopped doing it because I had a lot on my plate in the first time. In the first place with the paranormal and producing all these other projects. And I ended up deciding I would give it a shot. I'd go ahead and try, and all of a sudden I started getting this great turnout. I've got a list of people, you know, that are willing to do the show. So tonight it's 10 p.m. Central Time. I'll be starting on the air for the first time, but it won't last. It's not going to be, we're going to have to take it off of Blog Talk because a major station, which is called FateRadio.com, their awesome, awesome, awesome radio station, have asked or said that we can air the show there on their station. So we'll get the hour slot and actually get to have the stars and everybody there on that radio station starting next week. And that person that will be on the show for the first time over there will be none other than the blues man himself, Ken Tucker. And he'll
wow.
be performing live blues right there on the air.
Wow, excellent.
So it's going to be awesome. And another thing about Ken Tucker, see, when I say I have a lot on my plate, it's true. I will be writing the autobiography for Ken Tucker himself.
You're writing his autobiography?
I am writing his autobiography, and it is going to be awesome. He's got a lot of great things he's already telling me about, and it's going to be, I think it'll actually make it into a bestsellers list somewhere. There's just no doubt about it.
Oh, I have no doubt. My goodness. And weren't you just recently interviewed for that?
As far as what? Interviewed for his autobiography?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's right. I forget the name of the publication. There's a publication there in his town that is doing an article on him. And the gentleman that was doing the interview actually talked to me on the phone and asked about his autobiography. Or his biography, sorry. Yes,
yeah, I just
right.
I just see Sweet Roll. She's just so on top of things. I know why she's your co-host, right?
She is, and she's also my assistant in the production company. So, you know, I don't know what I would do without her.
Well, she seems to be on top of things in the chat room. I've been watching her all night, so I see why you've got her working with you, and that's a good thing. Now, she knows all about the technical side of things from what I've gathered listening to the show and everything. Is that right? I need to find someone. I need her twin to come work with me because I know nothing technical.
Because Robin is awesome. You know, she actually, if you guys like music videos, Robin created a music video that is on YouTube, and it's called The Paranormal Roboid. She actually sang it and put it together, and another good friend of hers is in it as well. And you see this thing in this video, and you're amazed because it is so well put together and very, very well sung. I mean, it's to this point, I'm actually amazed that she hasn't been picked up for a recording contract.
Oh, really? Well, you got to send me the address to that. I'd like to see that.
Oh,
because
yeah,
she's going to be working on your movie with you too, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She like I said, there's a woman that's got many hats. she has so much intelligence, and you know, you just, there's so many things you can say about her that nobody would say would be wrong. Unless they're bad things. Don't say the bad things. I don't know any bad things about her.
Maybe she'll share a few in the chat room. That way we'll quit bowing down to her and see her as a real person. What about it, Sweet Roll? Are you gonna share something about yourself? I was curious, you're all going to Fate Radio is what it's called, right?
Yes.
And does that mean that it plays on BTR and there, or is it a completely different radio show?
We could say from both. We could, but you know,
I lost you again. I see the Okay, I lost you again. I don't know where you faded to, but you did fade. Are you coming back? Let me see. Okay. He did fade from the room completely. Hopefully he'll call back in, and I'll open his mic this time. But until then, we can just keep talking about Robin if you want. Okay. On one of my shows that I was going to do but did not get to do due to laryngitis, which I get a lot, I was going to share one of my most embarrassing... Oh, he's there. I don't have to share it now. Hey, W. I was trying to fill the time with an embarrassing moment. Now I don't have to.
You got lucky there.
Huh?
I said you got lucky.
Yeah, boy. I've got... You know, I don't know if everybody has as many embarrassing moments as I do, but I would sure love to find out because I've got quite a few. What about you? Do you have any embarrassing moments?
I have one. I did one show that, you know, if anyone knows me, I'm not one of those people to use certain words on the air. And I got a massive amount of emails asking if it was possible because of a popular ABC TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So my co-host that night wasn't going to be able to stay on, so I ended up saying I was going to talk about this subject, and I did it. I struggled, and I think you could really hear how bad of a time I had trying to do this show. The only bad thing about those kind of things is they come back and bite you in the rear afterwards, because doing our 100th episode on paranormal, I actually played the clip, and I hate to say it, but for the next 30 minutes, that word got used so many times.
I was there that night. Yes, I remember that word. We won't go into that right now. But I can understand it being an embarrassing moment. But for your 100th anniversary, I mean, they sure rubbed it in, didn't they? Yeah, I remember that very clearly. I didn't even participate in the chat room because it was coming up in there, I think, every other word, wasn't it? Yeah, sweet roll,
yeah.
We got it. But, no, I was thinking back to when I was in high school, and I went to my first, well, it was a semi-formal dance. It wasn't the prom, but it was in October. It was a winter semi-formal. And I went out and got the dress and the outfit, and my boyfriend took me to the dance. And I had never been to a restaurant with a boy, you know, on a date. So I asked my stepmother, you know, what do I order? I had never even been in a formal restaurant at that time. It was always, you know, Burger King or one of those things. I don't think I'd ever seen a menu, let alone knew what to order off the menu. So she told me filet mignon. I didn't even know what it was for sure. So we go, and there's me and I think it was three other couples we had met at this restaurant before the dance. And, of course, I'm the first one to order. And I'm looking through the menu, and there it is, filet mignon. So that's what I order. The most embarrassing thing about that was the fact that it was the most expensive thing on the menu. And everyone else that night ordered really cheap, inexpensive meals. And I ordered the most expensive thing there. I never asked my stepmother for advice again.
That's actually not a bad story, because when you think about it, you know, just to have an ordering bad one time, who hasn't walked into a restaurant and said, what's the greatest thing you have? You hear their selections. But you ever realize the first thing they mention to you is usually the most expensive item on the menu, and you're thinking, oh, my God, that sounds good. I want that.
Well, the worst thing about it was I didn't know even the selection or the cuts or the, you know, I didn't know what rare to medium to well was.
Ooh,
so I ordered it, and it was bloody raw. I couldn't even eat it. You know, I mean, if I could have ordered the meal and eaten it, it wouldn't have been so bad. But I couldn't even do that. So anyway,
wow.
So if you're a teenager out there and you're going out on your first day to a fancy restaurant, order the cheapest thing on the damn menu. Just leave it in.
Yes.
But I got a number of them, believe me. I made a fool of myself in several different ways at several different times. But we won't go into that now because we're interviewing you. So tell me.
That word.
No, we're not going to use that word, not tonight. So tell
right.
me, what other projects do you have going on besides your movie, your paranormal show, your you're bringing back of the Mortal Vampire Cafe show, and what, two books to in your the Mortal Vampire series that you're going to be writing. And you just got out of the hospital, so when are you taking vacation?
What is a vacation? Actually, when I about 3 years ago, they had talked to me about this, and they, you know, you get like a letter before your birthday talking about the credits you earned with Social Security and your retirements and so forth.
Yeah.
I went into the Social Security office, and they were able to determine, I don't know how they do this, through their calculation and calculating your hours, but I had never taken a vacation once in 20 years.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
So when are you going, and where are you going?
I tell you what, when the film is complete, I will probably take a nice little trip to, who knows, I'm sorry, I would love to go to Hawaii, but there's so many other places I'd love to go as well, including overseas, so it's going to be hard to say. But I have two other projects other than that, you know. Of course, like I said, the autobiography of, I mean, the biography of Ken Tucker, and I've got another project that I'm working on that the most I can say about it is it's about a, it's going to be a film project about a gentleman in the music industry.
Oh.
So it's going to be very awesome. They want to take it into film festivals and try to get it up for quite a few awards. And we're going to be able to do that as we can.
Wow, you do have a plate full, don't you?
Just a little.
Just a little?
I have room for pie. I have room for free pie, which is tonight.
Which you're serving up tonight, right?
That's right.
And what's the flavor of this pie?
Pie. Michelle Seidman, I can't wait. She is an awesome lady. She really is.
So, what are your plans once you get all this taken care of?
I have projects. You can stop. The day I stop is the day they have me another room.
So you don't even plan on taking a vacation once you get things caught up, huh?
No. They're just, world is coming today. It's constant. It's always moving. And there's just got to be something, you know, when we get to the next level, just right. You know, and not to mention people like Ken Tucker, he doesn't get paid for his music. He's got two CDs out, he doesn't get paid for it. So why not help him, you know, help the world find out how awesome his music is by doing things like this, having shows and helping promote him? Why not? There's other people out there who need that same stuff, and it's worth trying to do it.
I agree with you 100%, but do you get anything negative, you know, sent your way about your shows or anything like that? I mean, because I've received quite a bit of negative stuff, and it really makes me question sometimes what I'm doing, but you're right. I mean, there's a lot of folks out there who enjoy this and who get a leg up every now and then from it, so why not do it, and who is it hurting? I mean, if someone doesn't like it, then don't listen, right?
Right. Well, when I started, believe it or not, when I started Paranormal, I walked into a major trap. From the day we started on the air, we were attacked by a show that actually we followed, Rob and I followed, they're on another radio station, and they were crapping in too. And when we moved on to the next radio station, they were left with, you know, holding the bag with nothing to do. They couldn't understand what was going on. What I've done is I've taken any of the negativity, see what they're negative about, and turn them into positives, you know. If they're saying that, oh, my God, your sounds are bad, but would you help fix your sounds, you know, to make things happen a little bit better? And after that, you know, I keep going.
I think that's wonderful. I have received 5-page dissertations on why I shouldn't host a show with an author who is an indie author.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Well,
it drives me crazy, but And it doesn't make any sense.
I think it's an honor for you that he wrote 5 pages to say what he doesn't like about your show.
You think so? Oh, I didn't look at it that way, but I should.
It's a paragraph. I mean, that's the word I wrote. 5 pages? Man, that's an honor.
5 pages? Yeah, you know, that's true. That did take a lot of time. What a way to look at it.
He had to look for something he didn't like. I mean, most people come to the show, they say, man, you guys rock. Hey, that's awesome. What am I doing wrong so I can fix it and make it even better? Okay, do it. You know, and that's what you do. And you've got one, I think, personally, because I want to see if I can make that 5 pages go into 10 pages. By the time you know it, the guys are in a book about why you should not be on the air, and hey, you're the center of the attention.
That's true.
He's helping you by giving you the negativity. So he goes, he's doing you a favor, and he doesn't realize it.
Well, I just want you to know that you're an inspiration. I do love listening to your show, and I don't always make it there on time, but I like listening to them in archive, too. It's a lot of fun. It always was, always has been, and I learned so much. Believe it or not, I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about paranormal until I started listening to your show, and I've learned a heck of a lot. Of course, some of it scares the crap out of me, but I'm not going to admit that.
You just did. Well, for those who don't know, if you want to hear the shows in archive, you can go to iTunes and download the podcast for free. Just look up Paranormal, like pair of shoes, and then normal. I believe, Yolanda, I got you set up on iTunes as well.
Yes, you did, and I appreciate that. My shows are also downloadable, so that's really exciting for me.
Yeah, that is...
And it makes a difference. It makes a big difference to the number of people who listen to the show, too.
It does, because it gives you a convenience. I've found a lot of people like to listen to the paranormal show. If they're not listening live where they have a lot of fun, too, a lot of them tell me they like to put it on their MP3 players and enjoy it while they're working out.
Yeah, I listen to it while I'm doing writing or catching up on some other stuff. I just, you know, tune into it and listen while I'm working. So it's an easy thing to do, and it's a lot of fun. And you always make me laugh, so that's always worthwhile, too.
Cool. Yeah.
I can't believe that we're getting down to the last hour or a couple minutes of the hour. So 2 minutes, they say, here to go. So do you have anything else you want to share with folks in the room or listeners?
Well, definitely check us out. You can listen to Robin and myself on Paranormal on Fate Radio on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, and that's fateradio.com. And you can listen to a lot of other awesome shows on there as well, including Hippie Nation in the Morning. He plays music and just really stands out. I got to listen to him today, so he really rocks. And then you can also listen to us on Fridays. But don't forget, tonight, go listen to Michelle in about an hour. And just here on Block Talk Radio, just look up The Mortal Vampire Without Spaces, and you can hear us live tonight, and then check us out next Wednesday on favorite.com.
Well, you're a great interview. I really enjoyed having you on the show, so thanks a lot for being here tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Well, I want to say to everybody who showed up in the chat room, I'm sorry if I didn't recognize everyone in there. There's Austin, Darla. We had several guests come in who didn't sign on to the chat room. Then we have Ken Tucker Blues and, of course, Robin Sweet Roll. And if I miss several people, I do apologize. I know it's at the end of the hour. So thanks for giving us a listen. And remember, if you'd like to be a guest, send an email to YolandaRenee@hotmail.com, and we'll arrange it. If you want to learn more about the Mortal Vampire, you can find him on Facebook. And then he's also got a website, themortalvampire.net. And remember, folks, these shows are archived, so you can go listen to the entire show if you just came in at the last minute. This is Conversations with Renee. I'm your host, and our guests tonight, E.W. Bradfoot, are coming to a close. But we'll talk again on March 30th. That's next Wednesday, and the show will be all about my novel, Murder, Madness, and Love. And I have a real surprise at that time, but I hope to see you then, folks. Thanks again for being here. It's a lot of fun to have you. And E.W., that goes for you especially.
Yes, I appreciate being here. It's great talking to you again, Yolanda, and I can't wait to have you on my show next.
Well, I'm going to try and stay up late enough to listen to your show tonight.
Okay.
And usually I'm in bed at 10 o'clock. Can you believe that? And it's all for health reasons. Somebody said if you go to bed at 10, you get your best sleep before midnight. I don't believe it because usually I'm still awake at midnight. It doesn't
right.
matter. So I'll try to tune in tonight for your show. And you're going to be on BTR tonight and then next week Fate Radio, right?
That's right.
Okay, great. Talk to you then. Thanks again. I really had a lot of fun. I'm so glad you came by.
I enjoyed it, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, I can't wait to be on your show. Have a good evening.
See you soon.
See you in the chat room later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.